We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. I know that's a surprise. Some of you, that's like the only Bible passage that you know. You're like, wow, every time I come to church, it's Luke chapter 2. Well, yeah. We are glad that you're here. And I'll try to say something new about Luke chapter 2. The theme this morning, as you've noticed, and I'll just tell you this, by the way, right up front, I am watching the clock because I made a promise a couple weeks ago, and I reiterated that promise last week that I would try to keep this whole thing to an hour. And most of you, a lot of you are new. That usually doesn't happen. Usually just my part is almost an hour. And we got a couple songs that we got to finish with. And so I'm going to do everything that I can to keep my eye on the clock. But we've been talking about peace. It's the last of the four Advent readings that we've done this season. And I love to preach on peace. As a matter of fact, this year has actually been special for me because my birthday was on a Sunday, so I got to preach. And Christmas is on a Sunday, so I get to preach. And I get to preach today about one of my favorite topics, and that's the idea of peace. Peace resonates with everybody. You just say, like, we're going to talk about having peace. And everybody's like, I'll take that. Like, sign me up. Right? Give me some of that. Especially in this season that I often refer to as the season of hurry and worry and busy. Have you experienced one of those three things this holiday season? Hands up. This is an interactive service, right? Hurry, worry, or busy. We've all experienced to one extent or another. Some of you, as a matter of fact, you didn't have your Christmas shopping done on Friday, and you're like, I'll get it done on Friday. It's 2 days before Christmas. It won't be a problem at all. I'll have the buffer of Christmas Eve. And then this crazy thing happened where it didn't snow. It like iced. Did you notice that? I noticed it when I went out on my front porch, and then I was laying on my front porch about 3 seconds later. That actually happened. I'm lucky I'm standing here and right now. But we've experienced like the hurry and the worry and the busy of the season. And the weird thing is like we get this idea that Christmas is supposed to be this very peaceful season. You see the manger scene. You see the different ideas that are portrayed about Christmas, especially like church Christmas sometimes. And you think, oh, so peaceful. And you're like, wait, Christmas peaceful, but like I experience lots of Christmas chaos, right? What we don't often understand is that that very first Christmas that Luke 2 talks about was filled with all kinds of chaos. As a matter of fact, turn in your Bibles, if you haven't, to Luke chapter 2. I want to just show you some of that chaos, because sometimes we don't really appreciate peace and what Jason read about related to peace and wholeness and all those things if we don't see some of the chaos. So let's just read through this Christmas story. If you get bored in the middle of it, by the way, Michelle is playing in one of the other rooms over here, the Charlie Brown Christmas, same verses, okay? So if this doesn't do it for you, just head over there. There's a Kraft and hot chocolate as well. No judgment. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, who has the King James, the old King James? Merle, you have it? What, instead of registered, what does it say? This is his time to shine. That all the world should be taxed. Oh, we can't talk about taxes at Christmas, can we? Right? Yeah, you paid a lot of sales tax already. If you've ever felt a little bit of financial chaos around Christmas, right? Or maybe in January when the credit card statement comes and you're like, wow, I was really irresponsible. Like, there was financial chaos the first Christmas. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered where they were registered so that they would know how much tax that they had to pay to the Roman government to maintain the peace that that government had. You think you've got taxes bad now? Like, I went to register a car on Friday. Oh, you want how much in taxes? Right? Can I give you a kidney? Financial chaos ruled that day. He says, verse 2, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Has anyone traveled this Christmas season? Like, you traveled to get here, this is your shot. Okay, our other pastor, Pastor Lauren, and his whole family traveled to Phoenix, Arizona. You know when they left? Friday. Remember when everything got really icy? So we're texting them back and forth. Did you make it? What's going on? We're watching the news. Travel chaos ensued on Friday, didn't it? That first Christmas was a Christmas of travel chaos. Everybody in the then known world had to go to their own hometown so that they could be registered in their own hometown. That meant the entire world got up and moved, right? Joseph himself had to take a 70-mile journey from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. That was 70 miles, and the terrain was rough, and it was a couple thousand feet of elevation change for him as well. We think that, like, you know, because we can't get the Uber to show up right when we need it to, or, man, I missed my flight, now I got to get another one, that we have travel chaos. Imagine trying to get an Uber then. Like, Uber Camel, not available, right? And there was, like, travel chaos and carnage. In verse 5, it says he was to be registered to marry his betrothed. Do you know what betrothed means? It's engaged plus, right? It's like heavy-duty engagement with handcuffs. It's like you can't, it's an engagement that you can't get out of. You're married, but you don't have the benefits and privileges of marriage just quite yet. And I won't go into all of it, but there were reasons that they did that. And Joseph and Mary were betrothed to each other. Verse 5, Mary, he was betrothed to her, and she was with child. You think that caused a little chaos? They weren't quite married yet, and it was a little different culture than it was today, right? Today, you might get a glance, you might not get a glance, you might get an, oh, that's great. In that day, you got rocks to the side of the head. Like, they could stone you for being pregnant before you got married. Your husband was expected to cast you out, and then no other man would want you. And since it was such a patriarchal society where everything revolved, if you were a woman, around having a man, you were in deep, deep trouble. You think you have relationship difficulty around the holidays? Like, we know what relationship difficulty feels like, don't we? Even those of us who seemingly have the families all put together, like, somewhere back there, we're going to some event around the holidays with that person, right? I would venture to say that in every single family, there's some crazy. Some of it's just more, like, close to the surface, right? But we know what relational chaos looks like. As a matter of fact, some people say that the Christmas season tends to be a magnifier for whatever else is going on in your life. If you're happy and joyful and things are great and you just got engaged, you just got married, Kevin and Melissa are back there, way to go, woohoo, right? Like, it magnifies that joy and that excitement and that anticipation. I've been on the phone with people even in the last couple days who know this is the last Christmas that they'll spend with their family member. Been having conversations with people that have experienced tragedy in losing family members at Christmas. And the holidays tend to magnify some of that. The holidays tend to magnify that chaos that happens because of relationships and relational brokenness. And maybe you see that and feel that even now. Mary and Joseph felt that. There would have been relationship chaos. There would have been family chaos. As a matter of fact, when we get to that part about there was no room for them in the inn, and you're thinking like Holiday Inn sign with no vacancy, most likely they were going to Bethlehem to be with his family because that's where he was from. And it was a small town. And it's very likely that it wasn't that there was no room for them, but that people had no room for them. That they weren't just like outcast because there wasn't enough room, but that they were in fact rejected because of their status at that point. Relationship, family, chaos. Verse 6 says, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Man, that manger thing is really cute, isn't it? How many of you have that nativity scene? And I don't know about you, but, you know, at the Imhoff home, we are biblical. So this morning, I opened the Bible, I read Luke 2, and as I was reading this passage, I went and I got the baby Jesus who had been on high, on the shelf, above the manger scene, and I brought him down and I put him into the manger because that was when the incarnation happened. Amen? Anyway. Amen. There you go. Some of you are new here, like, is he always this crazy? I'll let someone else answer that later. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a feeding trough because she was in a cave where they kept all the animals. And she put her son in a feeding trough. Think about it, ladies who have given birth. Giving birth in a cave with some animals around, and then instead of this very nice little, like, you know, cute little bassinet that they put your baby in and all the cute clothes and a little hat and they teach you how to swaddle them and all those things, right? You're laying them in the manger and you're having to shoo away the animals from coming and trying to get their lunch, their dinner. See, there's like health-related chaos that's all over the place. right now, and we understand that, and we experience that, and it was all going on in that first Christmas as well. It says again that there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8 and following, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. If you know anything about shepherds, these were rough and tumble guys, right? You can think part farmer, part trucker. Like, these guys were like the rabble of the day, and they were the people that were rough and tumble. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Because, like, wouldn't you be? And if you can fear, if you can make these, like, farmer, trucker guys scared, like, I would be scared. And most of you would be scared as well. You're like, nah, I wouldn't be. An angel of the Lord shows up, and the glory of the Lord is, like, shining. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty supernatural, right? And these guys are, like, sitting there watching their flocks and just kind of hanging out. And the next thing you know, they're looking at an angel. And I don't do horror movies. So I don't know if you do. But most supernatural stuff kind of tends to freak me out instead of get me all excited, right? People tell me stories about demon possession and about different stuff like that. And I tend to, like, think negative as opposed to, like, I hope an angel shows up and it's just really cool, right? What is this, the one with Mr. Scrooge, A Christmas Carol? Some of you maybe watched that. Like, if that's me, I'm freaking out. The angel said to them, verse 10, what does an angel say every time he shows up to people in the Bible? Chill. In the original language, it's like, just chill. Just relax. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news. That's the gospel, by the way. I bring good news is gospel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And you're like, well, that's good, because I was afraid that it wasn't going to be good news. And if you're an angel and you don't bring good news but bad news, that's going to be a problem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Let me talk to you about spiritual chaos for a minute. The shepherds would have been people who were spiritually disinterested. You see, again, this is the nation of Israel, and they had an expectation. They had the expectation of a Savior, right? Somebody who's going to come and get them out of the problems that they were in. As a matter of fact, for that group of people, the chaos for them in that day was the chaos of living under the rule of a government that was not their government, and always wondering how much persecution they were going to face, or if they were going to be allowed to worship, and how things were going to go for them. There was, in fact, a lot of chaos that went further than just the travel chaos and the financial chaos and the health chaos and the family chaos. That for the people in that day, there was spiritual chaos. But for this particular group of shepherds, this was a group of spiritually disinterested people. They just did their job. They kept to themselves. They did their own thing. They didn't have a lot of religious preferences and ideas and ideology. As a matter of fact, maybe you would call them today atheists. Maybe you got dragged to church today because it's Christmas and grandma and grandpa said, oh, come with us to Christmas. And you thought, well, if I want the check that they're going to give me later, I better come to, oh, wait, sorry, right? Whew. Maybe you're here today without a lot of interest in Jesus. And I want to tell you, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming and sitting and listening and being part. You're welcome here. We like to say, like, this is a place, if you don't know a lot about Jesus and you want to know more, hopefully this is a decent place to ask questions and not find a lot of ridicule, not find a lot of judgment, not find a lot of hate or anger or some of those things that maybe have been associated with the church in the past. But what I know is that God shows up to some spiritually disinterested people. And you know what happens when God shows up to spiritually disinterested people and they experience God for real? They aren't very spiritually disinterested for very long, are they? And the angel shows up in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, what? And on earth, peace with those whom he has pleased. Peace, there it is. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the crazy, what this passage tells us is that even through the chaos, peace is possible. Even through the financial chaos, and even through the relationship chaos, and even through the health chaos and all of that, but especially through the spiritual chaos that can be our lives, peace is possible. Peace is possible because of what happened at Christmas. That's the part of the story we really, like, usually listen to a lot. There's actually another piece that I like that happened just about 8 days after Christmas. And I want you to look at that as well. verse 25, Luke 2, 25. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. This is a good man, a godly man, a religious man. He was looking for and waiting for the things that God had told him to look for and to wait for. There was a sense of anticipation with Simeon. We do Advent because we want there to be a sense of anticipation at the coming of Christ. And that's what Simeon experienced. And check out what the next word says. He was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon was a man who knew what it was like to wait for spiritual things, to not have all of his spiritual needs met right then, and to understand that. Simeon was a man who understood what it was to be a seeker, someone who was seeking and searching, who understood that there was more out there, but didn't quite understand what all of that was yet. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you came to church with some spiritual questions, saying, like, I know there's got to be more. I'm just not quite sure what that more is. Maybe you've searched general spirituality and general religion and all of those kinds of things and not quite found the right answers. And I would submit to you that maybe it's because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is prompting your heart to continue to look for the only place where peace really is possible. And here's what Simeon found, verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do according to the custom of the law, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. Verse 28, Simeon took Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in what? In peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people. Simeon shows us what it means to endure chaos to experience peace. That sometimes we have to wait through the chaos. Sometimes we have to wade, W-A-D-E, wade through the chaos to understand the peace. Sometimes the relationship chaos and the financial chaos and the travel chaos and the spiritual chaos converge on our lives to push us in a direction, and it's the Holy Spirit pushing us in a direction to show us that peace is only found in one place. What I want you to know this morning is that it's because of Christmas that peace is possible. It's only because of Christmas that true peace is possible. As a matter of fact, you're going to go home after we get done here, and you're going to do some of the other things that are going to cause some chaos in life, right? But because of Christmas, peace is possible, and here's how that works. Christmas is about the incarnation of God the Son in the person of Jesus Christ, and the incarnation of Christ led to the perfect sinless life of Christ. The sinless life of Christ was the only reason that he could die in our place for our sins, be buried, and then be raised again. And we'll see some of you again at Easter. It'll be nice to reacquaint. But that's when we talk about and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. You see, because of Christmas, peace is actually possible. And these shepherds and Mary and Joseph, you know, we could find ourselves in all of these people in the story. Maybe you're spiritually disinterested like the shepherds. I want you to know that peace with God is possible. That's the peace you're really looking for. The book of Romans says, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The most important kind of peace that you or I can have is peace with God. And Scripture teaches that sin, and we're all sinners, breaks that peace between God and man. And the only way to find peace with God is through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't work your way back to peace with God. It's a gift. Not only is peace with God possible through Jesus, but the peace of God is possible through Jesus as well. And that's what many of us may be missing today. See, maybe you're here today, you're not a Christian. You need to experience peace with God. But for many of us who are believers and have experienced that peace with God, we need the peace of God to rule our hearts and minds. We need to experience the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. And because of Christmas, that peace of God is possible as well, because it's peace that comes through Jesus Christ. So like today, if you're not a Christian, this is an invitation for you to accept Christ as your Savior. You might, in a minute as I pray, you might pray something like this: God, I'm a sinner, and I realize that like the lack of peace in my life is because of that sin separating me from a relationship with you, and I trust you for my salvation. We say becoming a Christian is as simple as admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died in your place for your sins, and confess him as your Savior and Lord. And so in a minute, I'm going to pray, and if you're not a Christian, I'm going to invite you to pray to accept Christ as your Savior. But for the majority of us, like if we're honest, like we probably have prayed that prayer. You've given your life to Christ. You've become a Christian, but you're not experiencing the peace of God. I want you to invite you to like experience that today. I want to invite you to really like experience in the midst of chaos that is Christmas and the chaos that is New Year's and the chaos that is February and March and April and the rest of the year, to be able to experience real peace with God. And I want you to know that that's available in the midst of chaos as we turn our hearts and our lives over to Christ and we continue to walk in relationship with him. So I'm going to pray. If you have never become a Christian, you'd like to pray and accept Christ, again, this is not between me and you. This is between you and God. And I would encourage you just to pray and accept Christ as your Savior. If you are a Christian and you're struggling with chaos in this season, I'm going to pray that God would give us his peace. As I pray, Roger's going to come, and then we'll sing a couple more songs this morning. So bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this season, and thank you for the magnifying glass that it really is on the circumstances, the situations of our lives. Thankful that in the midst of chaos, that actual real peace is possible. Thankful that we can read a story like the Christmas story and realize that though sometimes we may see that as far different and distant from where our lives are today, that as a matter of fact, it's very similar. That the people in that story were experiencing most of the same chaos that we experience today, yet through your Son and the incarnation of Jesus, that peace was possible and made available. God, I want to pray for the person who's considering a relationship with you right now. A person who's here that's like, hasn't felt peace, hasn't understood, maybe has lots of questions, that they would place their faith in Jesus for their salvation today. Not only his birth, but his death and his resurrection, that they would become a Christian even right now by praying and accepting Jesus as their Savior. I pray for that person that they would then be able to come, talk to me, or get involved in ministry and church, and God, be able to start to walk the life that you want us to walk. And for those who are here who are experiencing just a lot of chaos in life, that would drive us back to you, to a renewed commitment to you, that our lives would be focused on you. And then when the chaos comes, that we would allow that to point us back to you, because that's the only place that we'll find peace. And God, I pray that the peace of God would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus as we trust in you. As we sing these songs, we go out for the rest of our day. God, know that we love you and know that we trust you. And we ask that you continue to conform us to your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.